You're listening to Intellectual Erection,
a place where we talk about the naughty.
Just stimulate your thinking.
You're listening
to
Intellectual Erection.
Intellectual Erection.
Передачу, где мы говорим о диспуте, там субъекты секса.
Hablamos de los sexos.
В компаниях, но мы говорим о
информации. Мы говорим о дефибютне.
To stimulate your thinking.
Welcome back to another episode of Intellectual Erection with your host, Patrick. Today, I'm talking to social media influencer Jackie Child with over 2 million followers. It is a fun episode. Actually, it's two episodes. I had to split it up. She did so much talking, which I don't mind. I love and enjoy. Thank you so much, Jackie, for giving me so much content. We got two episodes. I'm splitting it up. So the following week, you're going to hear part two. And I'm leaving you with a cliffhanger this episode because that's how we get you to listen. All right. On other news, Intellectual Erection has switched over from GoFundMe to Patreon. I don't know how you pronounce it correctly. Patreon? Whatever. If you're interested in supporting Intellectual Erection, please visit patreon.com/intellectualerection, and you'll find there multiple tiers, as they call them, not like the crying kind, like the T-I-E-R-S kind, where you can support the podcast, which does take considerable amount of time, resources, effort to make, and it's currently unfunded, so it does cost money as well as time. There's several tiers. You can pay, a dollar a month. We call that the vanilla tier. $5 a month, you're in the unicorn tier. You start getting a little bit of benefits. Then you got $10 a month. That's our slut tier. You get even a few more benefits. Then we got our daddy tier. That's $25 a month. You start getting a lot more benefits. You got the polyfam tier. That's $50 a month. And that comes with considerable benefits. And then finally, the master tier. You become our master for $100 a month. And you get all the benefits. Have a look on Patreon. I'm not going to list the benefits. There's too many. They're fun. You're going to enjoy them. And as always, subscribe, like, listen, review. But more than anything, haha, enjoy. I'm sitting here today with...
Is that when I say my name?
Yeah, it's a good idea. It's a good time.
Hi, I'm Jackie Childs.
Jackie Childs. If you have not heard of Jackie Childs, then you are not one of the 1.7 million... How many million?
Well, I think it's 2 million, right? Isn't it just 234?
Your reach is what now?
2 million.
2 million.
Yes.
You're not one of the 2 million cool people. So there's that. If you haven't heard of Jackie Childs, you should probably Google that.
And oh!
It's with a J. J-A-C-Q-U-I.
J-A-C-Q-U-I, and I'm not safe for work when you Google me.
Well, I don't know. I didn't find any...
Really?
Was I supposed to find nudes?
Well, there's tons. I have people that have, the last 3 years, have been trying to remove a lot of, okay. I've had some stuff try to get removed because now I'm a little, I've grown up a little bit more and I understand social media and the shock value and what I actually need to show and what I don't. Right. Originally, I was just like, look at me. likes.
Exactly. No, I don't know. It, when I Googled you, all the stuff that I got, so the hits, I don't remember what was on.
Did my book come up?
Yeah. Okay. So author came up, book came up, best-selling author, something about women warriors.
Ignite your inner warrior. Yeah.
Okay. A lot of the stuff on the CBD and weed stuff that you're doing now, Naked News that you worked on. Do you still work there?
No, I do some social media work with them, for them, and I've traveled with them quite a bit the last 2 or 3 years, but I haven't worked there in 4 years.
Okay, so there's that, and your modeling work?
Long time ago.
And if I click on the Google images, I think it's just you in a variety of,
like Instagram
poses
stuff?
And things. Yeah, but nothing explicitly nude. But maybe I didn't scroll far enough.
Yeah, maybe you didn't scroll far enough.
Well, I know what I'm doing after this interview.
Scroll.
I'll be Googling a little deeper.
I've had some really great photo shoots that, I mean, I'm still proud. I'm getting old. I'm proud of that stuff.
Yeah.
So stuff that other people might be embarrassed by or ashamed of or whatever, I'm proud of it. I mean, I'm not getting any younger. So.
Well, from what I've seen in other interviews, you are proud of your body, proud of your age, proud of your work and of yourself, which is actually wonderful. And this is what a good role model looks like, people.
I didn't wake up proud. It took a long time. I think I was like 39 before I started to realize that, okay, this is it.
39.
Yeah, I think it was about 38, 39 when I married my second husband. Mm-hmm. I am smart and I am pretty and I am interesting and I am funny and all the things I thought I wasn't. I am proud of the things I say and do. As long as I like lead with kindness, you know, like I have no malintent behind the things I do and say, I'm a good person. Right. So and yeah, I
think,
I'm naked.
I think two something million people agree. So
Facebook actually shut me down for a year. I had over
a whole year?
It was 11 and a half months without warning. Wow. And I had well over 2 million at the time. I lost about, I think, 600,000 I lost during that time that my page was frozen. It was non-existent. Like, you couldn't see it. So people unfollowed and dropped off and unliked it.
Was this like a community standards thing? Is that what they said?
Yeah.
So I had my page down too. It was down for a couple hours, I think. I got on there, I saw it, and they're like, do you want to dispute this? I sent them the most like academic response to Facebook. I'm like, this is a page for sex positivity, and it's for the visibility of marginalized people and communities that have been experiencing, you know, all sorts of oppression and this and that. And I'm like, you are doing a disservice. Furthermore, nothing on this is against community standards. There's no nudity, and you are shutting down body positivity and empowerment. And I just gave it to them. The page was back up in an hour.
Oh, good for you. I love that. Good for you. I'm currently down right now, blocked.
Are you?
Yes, 30 days. On my personal page, which I have 35,000 followers and 4,500 friends. Mm. And even though that is my personal page, it's a very, very highly engaged as far as local Hamilton and Hamilton, Toronto, Niagara, like that region. Yeah. If I'm selling something, promoting something, doing something, that page, even though it's supposed to be like my family photos or whatever, right? It's my personal page. Mm. That is where I do a lot of business that not only inform like payment with money, but the business on that page means a lot to me. It's a lot of charitable stuff. And so they shut it down for, said I was spreading hate speech, which I flipped. I've appealed 3 times. What it was I took a screenshot of, it's the politician from Arizona, the lady that they say she doesn't dress properly for a politician and who would vote for her. Mm-hmm. She's adorable. She has a tutu on in one of her little speeches that she's giving outside of a university. And then in another speech, she's like, it looks like she's in Washington and she has a gray kilt on with high boots. Right. And underneath it says like, who would vote for this woman and who takes her seriously? And so that's fine. There's a lot of typical nonsense, a lot of typical talk underneath it, which I don't put a lot of to it. But when I read the comments from women saying she obviously has a low IQ or she wouldn't need to dress like that or shame on her for what, I was disgusted what I read by women. And so I put it on my page with hashtag women supporting women. Is this women empowering women? Or how about, is this the big kindness movement that everyone's talking about? Being kind and kindness matters. Just let me know what I'm missing. Mm-hmm. And so that's all I put, maybe 3 lines with a couple little hashtags. The picture was screenshot from someone else's page. And within an hour, I got a 30-day block. And then their response was saying that I was going against community standards on, and it said hate speech, and there was a morality thing here. Well,
did they think that you were endorsing the message and the image?
Yeah, and that's, so I screenshot everything and what I said, and like my point was like, this is not empowering women. This isn't being kind. This isn't spreading kindness or awareness. This isn't helping anyone on a positive.
Yeah.
That's where I was going. So I'm blocked for 30 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I had a picture up on Facebook once that showed a couple. The guy was choking the girl in a sexual situation.
Right?
You could tell by the picture. And it said, maybe you like getting choked, but turtles don't. Keep your plastic out of the fucking ocean. That's all it said, right?
Right?
So I thought it was cute. I'm like, oh, you got a little BDSM in there.
Yeah.
It's like what you like, you know, don't do the...
And that's
the,
big right now, the straws and the turtles.
So I thought it was cute. I put it up and I guess somebody reported it because it was taken down. And then they gave me like an explanation, like the standard, whatever legalese explanation with the image. This image was taken down, blah, blah, blah. I screenshotted that and then posted that on Facebook, which they didn't take down, which has the original image embedded in there.
Like so weird. Like,
but it's, it, I think, see, the thing is, these things don't go through their filters, I think, right away. So it's when people report, is my understanding.
And it's not people on the other end. I think their algorithms is why, isn't that why we're getting reported?
Well, one thing, there's two different ways that these will happen. So one is an algorithm that will screen you automatically. Then there's actual people that work at Facebook and Instagram and whatnot that will look through content that's being put up.
Right.
And these people are like minimum wage workers, I think. I heard on a podcast. And they have to sit there and like filter through fucking dick pics. They have to filter through beheadings and all sorts of like nasty, inhumane shit. So they're literally having to withstand like mental torture to screen things. And they have to screen things based on a book. They get a book and they're like, here's the rules. If it's a nipple and it's feminine and it shows, you know, this part of the nipple and it's in this context, you take it down. If it's breastfeeding, it's okay. If it's sexual, it's not. So they literally don't really have any judgment other than following the book.
The book.
So yeah, so for them it sucks too. So I understand their job sucks, and then it sucks on our end too.
It's
people
not
who
fair.
Are trying to promote like good body positivity.
In the meantime though, every time they've done this to me, I have my Instagram has grown, my Twitter's grown, I opened LinkedIn, I started using my Snapchat. So I guess it's just I'm not lazy because of that. I've started other avenues and I have other
perfect.
Right? Like I originally had all my eggs in one basket and then they started playing these games. And like I had mentioned earlier, I have a really hard time with rules. Mm-hmm. Really, really hard time with rules and being in some sort of box and just knowing that they can sort of draconianly shut you down like that has really motivated me to do other things.
Of
like,
course.
Yeah.
As it should.
Yeah.
Okay, so we dove all over the place, which is wonderful. This is, by the way, what it sounds like when good organic conversation happens and with good people.
Thanks.
So the first thing that I always like to ask my guests, and this I don't know at all about you.
Okay.
So I do know that you promote sex positivity. I do know that you've worked even with Oasis Aqua Lounge, mm-hmm. Naked News, all this kind of stuff. I don't know if you are involved at all in any of these sex positive communities, by which I mean polyamory, kink, BDSM.
We're in the lifestyle.
Fetish.
We're so swingers.
Or swingers,
right,
or any
so
of that.
I don't like the word swingers. It
me
reminds
neither.
Me of the 70s. Like we all put our key in a bowl and we're all just nasty. So I was married for 15 years. I have two children. And during that relationship, I cheated on my husband every chance I got.
This is the first I've ever heard of this happening. In monogamous relationship, don't say.
And he wasn't a horrible human being, and I'm not a terrible human being, but our relationship didn't work. It was full of lies and guilt and shame and embarrassment. And moving forward in my next relationship, we started as an affair, and we became really good friends. We had an affair, and we decided... And really, like, seriously, we didn't just say it and then move forward and life went normally. No, we kept on with our own sort of unwritten rules that I'm your best friend, you're my best friend. I don't own your thoughts and feelings. You don't own my thoughts and feelings. Mm-hmm. And part of being a friend, we don't hide things and lie to each other, because that's where guilt and shame and everything comes in. So if you are attracted to someone or something or you're interested, that's fine. I don't own that. And you shouldn't feel shame or embarrassed. If I walk into a room and my husband or whoever is watching porn or whatever, you shouldn't feel shame. You shouldn't have to close it up and go and like nervous like I did in my past relationship.
Right.
So going forward, we decided we'll make our own rules. And as far as our lifestyle is not an to us, it's not an action. Mm-hmm. It's more of it's our whole way of thought, our way of thinking, the way we live. Somebody says, are you bisexual? I not today, but maybe tomorrow. And yes, I have been. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I don't like labels. I don't like it.
I hear this a lot.
When you say like sex positive, I'm thinking if everyone's having a good time and everyone is feeling great about it, that is to me a good thing. That is sex positivity.
Right.
I think you should feel good, and I don't like rules and I don't like labels. So that's why we just are under the umbrella of lifestyle. We travel the world with a lot of like-minded people doing whatever the hell we want when we want. On Monday, I might have wanted to jump into a group thing, and on Tuesday, I think it's disgusting. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you're gonna fluctuate in your proclivities.
So it's not my... Yeah. I mean, I liked girls in high school. I think everyone did. I haven't since.
I think I did too. I'm pretty sure.
So, see, a lot. So my husband and I, we have a really great thing. I mean, obviously, the way I speak without thinking all the time, and my pictures, and they portray a certain image.
Hashtag no filter.
Yeah, hashtag, which exactly. And hashtag shameless.
Yeah,
and that's really how I live. So if I've offended anyone, I'm, you know, like, I am sorry. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people that follow me that I have offended, and I'm sorry for that. But I'd like everyone to know it comes from a good place. I am open-minded, and as well, not only my mind, I have an open heart too. I'm really willing to, you know, I apologize, and I can forgive and apologize and move on.
Yeah, I think it's okay to make mistakes. We all do. And you can't hold people to impossible standards of you're not allowed to make mistakes, because that's ridiculous.
Oasis, Ozone, X Club, all those sort of places. Because if I want to go and stand at a bar and have a drink like a regular nightclub, I can. But if I want to talk to other like-minded people and talk openly about anything that's going on, if it's something within the kink community or bisexuality, like bestiality, anything, I like that stuff. My mind
bestiality.
I love to hear about freak stuff. I love to read books. I like to read things from in the 1800s, they used to. I love it.
I'll tell you something. After you leave here today, Google Mr. Hands.
Mr. Hands.
Mr. Hands.
Okay, what is it?
You'll see.
All right.
Just remember to Google Mr. Hands.
Okay.
Since we're talking about it.
So I didn't even know there was that, like the levitations and stuff, you know, when they put the hooks on your skin and they
hook suspension.
So
I have a friend who does that.
Like, I absolutely love it. So yeah, I also hashtag not your regular soccer, not your average soccer mom, because I could take my kids to soccer or hockey and make them peanut butter and jam sandwiches and go to church on Sunday. But then on Wednesday, go to I call them hangings or whatever, and be so turned on and be in my, like, just, I love it. It's like Christmas.
Well, it's wonderful to hear that you have a family and you're able to do the things that you want to do, and you figured out a way, maybe a little late in your life.
Pretty late.
Pretty late in your life, but you figured out what it is that you want and how you want to live with, you know, a good sense of healthy empowerment, so that you don't have to feel like you're
I can't be in a box.
Shamed. Because when you said that on your first husband, you cheated a lot.
A lot.
Why was that? The restrictions.
I think because we were playing traditional roles. He worked. He was the breadwinner. I stayed at home with the kids. And that's not who I was. When he met me, I was a stripper. I was traveling all over the place doing great. Thank goodness it was all before social media. Doing what most people would think was crazy or absurd or obscene. And having a really great time. Mm-hmm. We met and I got pregnant. He was Catholic Italian. We got married.
Oh, boy,
and I fell into that role. Yeah. And that role. And it wasn't me. It was all fake. And I think it was a power game. I was struggling with my... And I've said horrible things about him and that whole relationship. And it really isn't about him. It was about me. And that wasn't right for me. So no matter who that person I was married to that had that traditional, you know, the picket fence and the kids, I would have cheated and I would have escaped often and tried to. It's taken me, we've been divorced 9 years now and I've been remarried 6. It's taken me this long to really realize it wasn't about him at all. This was me. Yeah. I couldn't, the traditional roles and the traditional values are just, weren't for me.
And I've heard this from several other women in the podcast, some younger, some older. A lot of divorcees have gone through this, and it's because we follow this script that we're not even aware of. Like, monogamy is one of those things, right? You just go into the world, you're in it, and it so happens that most people do things this way, and you don't question it, you don't ask why, you just do it. So then you fall into jealousy, you fall into cheating, betrayal, you fall into all these categories because you've never had the chance to assess for yourself.
Because those are the unwritten rules, right? Yeah. Like, those, they are written. So on the way here, a photographer that I worked with a long time ago, like 7 years ago, messaged me and said, I know you're following along on Instagram. Have you seen I recently had my heart broken? My fiance cheated. How do you get over cheating and how do you deal with all this sort of stuff?
It doesn't exist.
I actually responded to him. I said, well, I don't hold a lot of value to the word monogamy.
Yeah.
And I said, and what you're hurt by is probably not the act itself. You're hurt by the lie and the betrayal, not the actual act. And I said, I think you need to rethink, sit back, because he's a gorgeous man and smart, interesting. I said, I think you need to sit back and think about what it is that hurt you. Was it the lie or is it the act? And that sex and love are two different things. And I said, take everything I say with a grain of salt because I'm just an old whore. That's what I said. Just an old whore. So take it all with a grain of salt. Good. So I said a lot of things and he responded with, thank you so much. I didn't actually think, all I could think about is how jealous I'm feeling and how mad. I'm mad and jealous. Those are wasted emotions and silly, really silly. When he has so much to offer someone, maybe this person or this relationship isn't for him. Maybe, like, sometimes people could look at it the other way as that person just liberated you. Like, if she's going this way, you can go that way then. Like, it's not going to work. Better to find out now. But if it was just that, so she cheated on me. What is that when someone says, oh, well, they cheated on me? Okay, so was it the sex act that bothered you?
It's the betrayal. That they
lied? Exactly.
All right, because cheated is to cheat, right? Is to swindle, is to betray.
Right. Yeah.
So that's all it is. It's you feel betrayed. And you get the same feelings, I think, with friends when friends betray you, right? So it's not necessarily the action, it's the fact that they did something that you agreed not to do.
Right.
And if somebody does that behind your back, then it feels bad.
Right.
And
betrayal hurts.
Yeah. And it's legitimate. But that means maybe you should set up different rules for yourself.
Like,
or
if he really loves this person, I always put love in quotations because that's a weird word. if he really loves this person, then maybe they can work it out and they can set up new ground rules or new whatever, because I don't know. Monogamy is just not my thing.
Oh, no, I understand. And I've traditionally said on this podcast that, you know, I'm okay with monogamy. I have no problem with it so long as people engage in it, you know, thoughtfully. As long as they've assessed that that's what they want and they want that exactly, then go for it. If that's your jam, but think about it first. Is it? Because there's other avenues.
Right.
There is, you know, there's being monogamish. There's being a little bit open. There's being polyamorous, where you're allowed to love multiple people and have multiple relationships. And even in polyamory, there's so many different
levels,
styles,
of it,
right? So as long as you've explored the world of possibilities and said, this is my way, then I understand it.
My husband, I say to him, I say it all the time, you can have sex with whoever you want, whenever you want, just don't take them for coffee. And he's like, because the sharing of intimate time and space, to me, intimate time and space is talking, sharing secrets, sharing a moment, sharing time together. Mm-hmm. That means way more to me than actual sex. Yeah. It's really weird that I have way more value in the time and shared experience through, like, sharing your thoughts and secrets and your ambitions, your goals. That to me is very stimulating, very sexy. Having sex is like, I don't know, to me, dogs do it, squirrels do it. Like, it's like nothing. It's like another, you know, it's a biological, like, it's an act that we all do.
Well, weirdly enough, actually, it's a dated now psychological study that looked at the way men and women perceive jealousy. So they took, you know, cis men and women,
right,
and asked them, picture your partner cheating on you emotionally or cheating on you sexually. And overwhelmingly, the men were absolutely just horrified by the idea of picturing their partner with having sex with somebody else, whereas the women were more so leaning towards the emotional cheating.
That's right. Like,
yeah, so it was a weird little gendered thing, which why it happens and why it's gendered that way, it's a social construct. I don't think there's any biological reasons why one would respond one way or the other.
I bet you there is.
Well, it's probably cultural, right? It's evolutionary.
Oh, yeah, that's
the way
true.
That, yeah, the way things mm-hmm. happen over time. It's interesting, right? And it's funny that you're saying
that
right
now.
That
would piss me off if you took, like, if we're in a relationship and yeah. you took somebody out for lunch. Yeah,
yeah. Fucking's okay.
Yeah.
Lunch is too
far. I don't
far.
Care that you guys yeah. had sex. I just say, you just went for lunch. You spent yeah. your afternoon.
Yeah.
It's so weird that that's what it, and I have a 21-year-old son. Trying to sort of change the norm or this change the, you know, break the stigma or the normal standards or whatever is really, I'm touch and go on that too, because I don't want the kid to be totally lost and confused in this world.
Well, you were saying earlier that your son's like very different from you. So
yes.
when you have like such an open parent, maybe the child is a little bit more restrained.
He's very uptight is the perfect word.
So that's one of your boys.
Yes. I have two, mm-hmm. and I write often about my other one. He hasn't spoken to me in 4 years.
Ooh.
Because I say it in my book as well, a casualty of divorce. There's a thing called PAS, parental alienization. Mm. When I left his dad, it hurt. It hurt deep. And it wasn't about money and things. There was no, and our relationship was always a power struggle, my ex and I.
Yeah.
And the only thing he had was, because I didn't want his money and I didn't want his things, I didn't want him, the kids. And I was a stay-at-home mom and they were my entire life. And my son was, I think he was 11 at the time. By the time he was 14, so he was the last time he spoke to me. He actually gave me an email and it was addressed to Jackie, sent me an email. And it was all adult words and language and all, like, I mean, it had been programmed, had been put there. And that's, PAS is a form of abuse. And it happens a lot. So unfortunately it's horrible and that's like a death every day as far as I'm concerned, but it's also extremely motivating for me because I, since that day, it's been 4 years since I've seen him, and he lives 10 minutes away. He refuses to talk to me and other family members and says I'm the worst person and that I wasn't a good parent, blah blah blah. That has motivated me to be the person that I am, as far as charities and travel and the things I do on a personal level. I do because of that. I guarantee I will leave this earth being everything he said I wasn't, you know, or said, you know, like, I'm a bad this, I'm a that, you're not a good this. I'm making sure that I am.
So was he upset that you left?
He said they use the word abandon a lot. That's a buzzword, right? I didn't abandon anyone at all. It was 1 week on, 1 week off. We lived two streets away. Mm. And it looked amicable to the kids, for sure, our divorce. But he just said I wasn't there for him. I didn't go to any sporting things. I wasn't, that his dad is very involved in his future planning as far as school and work and whatever, and that I wasn't. I was too focused on myself, which was not the case. There's several sides to the story and it's not good. But and my son that lives with me full time has a relationship with him and his father, yet he lives with me. So it was just the whole thing was gross. And coming out of still living with that and dealing with that, it really has made me a better person. So like a lot of people that I talk to regularly about this, parents, moms especially, that are going through this all over the world, I'm in a lot of support groups, and use it to motivate you, the things that you always wanted to do, the things that you're, so if and when that adult child comes back into your life, you have a lot to be proud of and a lot to show and a lot to, because then again that fills you. I'm a mom first and foremost. And to have your mom, your son say they don't love you and they don't want to have anything to do with you. And that was what I was. So it really makes you have to step back and think, okay, wait, I failed at the one thing I was, you know, I thought I was doing perfect. Right. I thought I was so good at that. So that's another reason why after the divorce, I changed sort of the ground rules of my whole life. Because I had everything riding on that family and that life and being the picket fence. And it was a shock to me too when I finally got the balls to leave and say, okay, I'm starting this all over fresh. 38 years old, that, and in my book I say that, that it's like a suicide note to my past. Yeah. That girl is gone. So if you knew me then, you don't know me now.
Right, so you do sometimes have to destroy to recreate. Because you only have limited resources.
And that's tough.
Yeah,
it sounds fabulous, but it's really tough.
It's horribly tough, but you might need to do it because I'm sure also your son wouldn't want the miserable stay-at-home mom who just isn't herself. Like, eventually, maybe he'll come to terms with the idea that, you know, what's best for you is to be your best self, and then you can formulate a relationship together as your best selves, even if he feels like you know
I have
like
to have hope.
Owe him things.
I have to have hope.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that, and he's still fairly young, so
yeah, he's just 18. I've been so pathetic and desperate. I've got celebrity famous friends. I've got them to reach out to him and say your mom's the coolest, or your mom's so great, or always and that didn't work. And then I knew he'd be at a concert where I know the band, so I've got them to like shout him out type thing at the band, whatever. And always everyone else is like, oh man, your mom's so cool, he's not having it. So parental alienization is a real serious form of abuse. So it is scary and it is sad because he's not feeling anything, where everyone's like, wow, he's feeling nothing.
That's sad. It's the only source of power you have when you're the child, right? It's like, oh, I see that this person needs me as a parent, so if I ignore them, that's when I get them under.
And partnering with his dad, right? Yeah, like his dad was the one that was left.
Yeah.
Often that's what happens. The kids side with the one that, because I left. I mean, I did him a favor. He's married to an amazing woman who has dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's in his book. So like they have the greatest everything, which still, so I liberated him.
So about your other son then.
Okay.
The square.
The square one.
Okay, so he's 21. How does he take, I'm sure he knows a lot about your public figure. Yeah,
everything.
He's probably seen your nudes.
Mm-hmm. Everything.
And his friends have seen your nudes. Mm-hmm. And there's something about a house party and things getting trashed.
Oh,
like,
so that was
there's
crazy.
So many fucking stories. I don't know if we're gonna have time to get it all in, because this woman right here has got stories on stories on stories. If you've ever seen the collection of 1001 Nights, right? They're right there. See, six volumes. You probably could fill those six volumes.
I probably could.
There's so much I want to ask. The first thing that I usually ask my guests, and I said this at the beginning, I'm going to ask it now. Should we do the son thing first? Because we're on the topic. We'll get back to my question again. We'll put it on the back burner. Let's do this. So your son's 21. How does he take all this? You being so open, he knows everything about you. You're that mom. All his friends are probably very aroused.
He doesn't have any friends over to the house, which I feel bad. Other than his girlfriend. He has a girlfriend for 2 years. And no males come to the house ever. Right. He meets him in the driveway. He meets him at the bar or the restaurant. He meets him at work. Never. So I think that's how he's handled a lot of, that's a shame. When we go away, obviously I can tell that he's had people over and stuff, but not when I'm there. So I think that's how he handles it. I am extremely open with him on everything. And he slowly has come to me with stuff, that things that are embarrassing or like health concerns or awkward, like stuff awkward. Yeah. He's new to having sex with his girlfriend and whatever. He's been able to talk to me about anything, which
that's really,
it's cool. Really. And I tell him stories about stuff that I was ashamed of and embarrassed. When I wrote my book, I gave him the draft first. When it was ready to go to the editor, he got it first to sort of and he said, oh, should I approve this? And it wasn't about, I didn't want you to approve it. I just wanted you to know what was going out there, what was being said. Because I did, I have a very colorful past. I was a stripper and I did get pregnant with him and he saved my life. And that's how I start the book. He is shy. And everything is weird. Everything I say to him is, that's weird. Why do you have to be so weird? And I'm like, come here, can I? And I cut his hair. I'm like, here, let's wax your eyebrows. He's like, that's weird. And I'm like, we should go get your teeth whitened and go for a spray tan. If you're going to, because my kid lives in the basement. He's like a vampire. So I'm like, go get a spray tan. He's like, why would I want that? I'm like, you'll love it. He did just get a tattoo and that I took him for.
Oh, nice.
And I had a friend do it, but I also had all the girls from Naked News show up.
Oh my God.
So, and they did like a live to air and a whole thing during the tattoo because it was going to be really painful. And I knew
where did he get it?
On his, across his chest, he got and it's big.
Is he skinny?
And super skinny.
Okay, that'll hurt.
He's like, oh my goodness. He's like 6'1", maybe 130 pounds.
Ooh, tall kid.
Really tall and really thin. Mm-hmm. Really thin. So he got it across his chest and it's a, I wanna say it's a carburetor, but no, what's the thing that makes a car go fast?
The engine?
It's something in the engine. It's a part, like a, I can't remember what it's called, but it looks really cool and it's mm-hmm. roundish and it has all these parts to it. But the tattoo artist who's a friend said it is going to really hurt. A distraction probably would be great. And I knew if they all
Naked
came in.
Girl.
Exactly. So they came in, they did their live thing. And even then they were asking him on the thing, how does this feel? Like, this is your mom just brought you to this tattoo part. Like, and I mean, I don't pay for tattoos. I have several tattoo artists around, well, some in Montreal, some big, that do trade with me and think mm-hmm. like they, for shout outs or for me to come to their place or to see the, you know, promote some of their art. So my son thought that was really cool. Like, okay, awesome. I'm my mom's getting me this tattoo and it's big and it was a big deal and the Naked News girl. So, and they asked him, how do you feel with your mom being your mom and the way she is? And he's like, oh, it's pretty cool. And they're like, what about your stepdad? And he's like, it's pretty cool. Like, he doesn't, yeah. One thing I wish, because I'm so open with him.
Yeah.
And he is open with me, but open but guarded. Can you
yeah.
do that?
Yeah.
Like, he's still shy. He's still young. He's still nervous.
And you want to know what he really feels.
Yeah.
Really
feels. I did take him to Hedo in Jamaica on his 18th birthday.
Hedonism. Oh, my.
On his actual day of his 18th birthday, I was in Jamaica staying at the property 2 seconds away. And I'm very good friends with everyone that works at Hedo, the actual staff. I've been going there so long. And I worked there. At one point, I was working there. I was there for almost five weeks. So I became really close with everyone. And when my son turned 18, I'm like, I am taking him to Hedo. Like, we're gonna come. And he did, and he liked it. And it was the first time I saw him with gay people. Like, I saw him like interact, and he knows they're openly gay, mm-hmm. and they're openly gay. And I was so proud of him. Like, he was flirting like with them, and they were talking openly about things, and they were like, I'm like. It's very different than the way I grew up. That was being, which is so funny because most of my friends are gay. So they're going to listen to this and go, listen to you old fuddy-duddy.
Fuddy-duddy. That's the newest
terminology. So it was like a disease. You didn't want to catch gay. And now it's like nothing. And I'm so proud of that about my son. And I have an issue with a stepdaughter, mm-hmm. and she wants to come and live with us. This is brand new. And I said to my son, what should I? And he stopped me mid-sentence and said, and this is some really good. He's like, why is this even a question? She's family. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I raised a really good kid. I'm so proud.
So good.
He's a great kid. Gives to charities. He's open-minded as far as sexuality. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not sharing it all with me, but he can come to me with anything. And anything's good. I want him to have a happy and healthy, safe, good life. Like, I just want the best for him, and whatever that looks like.
Amazing.
Whatever that looks like.
So let's go to that question.
Okay.
Let's do it. We're gonna dig deep. well, this is what I always ask people. So, the origin question. So presumably, I have a suspicion that anybody who's in the sex positive communities might have had a very early sexual awakening, right? And there's usually a good story behind it. Like, the first time, do you remember the first time when you were very young that you thought about sex and sexuality? What awakened that for you? It could have been like something you watched. And aside from that, was there anything in that experience that made you maybe realize later on that your sexual life might be outside the norm?
This is, okay, the one that came to mind, I'm listening to you, something came to mind, and it's weird that this came to mind. I don't even know where this is going.
Perfect.
I remember I was really, really young,
yeah.
and we're in a court, there's a bunch of kids, and they were picking teams. We were playing like Red Rover or one of those things, you know, where you mm-hmm. grow through each other's arms and you run through the other side. And I didn't get picked for the team. Like, I didn't get this team. I remember standing there watching, and I didn't, so I went inside. And I blew up two balloons and I put them in my shirt. And I
came. As boobs.
Yeah. And I put lipstick on that wasn't mine. It was my mom's or somebody's. I remember putting, and I'm super young. So I'm not even 13. I'm like maybe 9 or 10. Mm-hmm. And I was like playing dress up in the house while they were doing their Red Rover game in the court. And I watched through the window and thought, I'm going to go out there like this. And I had made, I'm really young. And I had hairspray, like Final Night, all hard and crunchy in my hair that I had just done. And I didn't learn from anyone. I just was like, did something with my hair. Put lipstick on my face. The balloons are in my shirt. And I went back out. And they picked teams. And I got picked first. And I remember thinking to myself. And, oh, and the boy was, he had just got his license. So he was 16. There's a guy on the other team that picked me. And he used the word sexy. And he said, I'll pick sexy. And I know nowadays we're like, what? She was like 9. You're 16 or 10. Like, it's really bad. But that was a positive as far as, and that I think might have set, because I remember being super excited. The big boy picked me. He called me sexy. The balloons are in my shirt. There's red lipstick on my face. I look like a whore. That's a mess. Total train wreck. And I remember being really excited and really happy. Mm-hmm. And doing that often from then on. I remember stuffing my shirt and doing my hair a different way and putting makeup on, even though I was super young. But I really, really, really liked the sexual attention. I really liked it. And I, so maybe I didn't realize it was sexual attention. I didn't, but it sparked something that, and I got picked first.
Yeah, you're like, this is how it works.
So still to this day, when people say, oh, look at the way she's, you know,
you what, still get picked first. Around.
I still get picked. And
you go,
and
you
I'm
go to
very,
hedonism,
yeah.
Picked first. Oasis, picked first.
I do it, like, I'm good. Not, I think I like, I wear glitter, I have blonde hair and big boobs, I purposely go and get things bigger and puffed up more, and I wear outrageous outfits. Mm-hmm. Yes, I know sex sells, and I use it. I do, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. I use it to my advantage.
Well, it's, you are living in a patriarchy, and these standards were not set by you. These are men's standards. Mm-hmm. So they can't complain that they're getting taken advantage of by somebody playing their game better than they anticipated.
Yeah.
Right? They like, want big boobs. They want these lips. They want sexy. They want to pick sexy.
Yeah.
So you give them sexy.
When they say dumb blonde, I don't think I'm a...
Well, they can't get fucking
yeah.
mad at
Wait,
this
oh, she's
point.
Just a dumb blonde. Really? I think I'm pretty smart. If it all it took was blonde, right. The dumb blonde, to get everything you want, like, really, buddy?
Well, you got to be pretty smart to figure out their game and play it well, right?
Exactly.
Play it against them. So you figured that out at, like, fucking 9 years old.
Yeah, it was 9.
And then, since then, what happened? This I want to hear, you're probably going to have to summarize a lot of things, but okay. You were 9. Okay, you realize what gets attention, how to get the things that you want. Within this system, and the next thing I know that you're talking about is stripping. Is there something between then and stripping, other things that like ignited you know, this kind of path?
I don't know. I think I was just like the normal high school person. I think I was experimenting with everything and anything.
So how old were you? Anything and everything.
Well, I've tried every drug I could try. Do I like girls? Do I like boys? I think I was 6. My parents moved to Michigan when I was 15. So I was alone in Canada on my own. Mm-hmm. They were in Michigan. And I moved in with a girl as friends, mm-hmm. 16. But then she was sort of, I guess that would probably be my first real relationship then. Mm-hmm. And that was with a woman, with a girl, a little bit older than me. And I was still continued to go to high school. I went away to Windsor because my parents were living in Detroit. I went to Windsor to school and I applied for a job at a restaurant. I didn't get it. And then above the restaurant was a tanning salon. When I went into the tanning salon to apply for the job, she said, you should apply. You should be a dancer. And I was like, what? I can't dance. And I didn't think stripper. Yeah. I was like, I can't. What? Have you seen me dance?
Right.
And then she said, no, I mean like stripper right below. They're always hiring. They make tons of money. So I went in with a girlfriend and she left immediately. She's like, I don't know how you can do this. And she left. She was like all like.
How old were you here?
18.
Oh, so like
I was 18,
you were
so fake
just, you know, right on the margin. The barely legal.
Barely, exactly.
Barely legal, so, and you go for it.
And I got hired right away, mm-hmm. and I started, I even remember the first person I danced for. I totally remember. His name was Tom, and I remember what he looked like and who he was and whatever. He was like a billion years old. And I still, but none of that was sexually stimulating or turning on to me. That was all a power thing. I felt really in control. And I loved making money. I liked contributing to whoever I was living with or whatever I was doing at the time, which also right. I was never faithful to anyone ever, ever, ever. So like, right. I feel like, so even when I'm like, oh, we've only been going out 3 weeks. Yeah. And I've already cheated on you like 8 times. Yeah. Like it's, I don't know why I power. I'm not sure.
I understand where that comes from. The need for control over your own life. And the need not to have other people put restrictions on it.
I can't stand rules. Yeah, I can't stand it.
I sympathize with that heavily, so I completely get where you're coming from. And I understand that sometimes you make you know unethical choices when you're young and you do these sorts of things that hurt people until you figure out that there's avenues that you can exercise these same sort of, you know, agency and empowerment without hurting people.
Without the lie, without the guilt, without hurting people.
But when you live in a world that doesn't really cater to that, it pushes you, and then all that builds up, the pressure, and then it finds outlets. You know, you burst.
Mm-hmm.
And you burst. Cheating, mm-hmm. you do this, drugs, this, that.
Exactly. Right? And that's what happened. Dancing was all positive as far as I'm concerned. It was
so don't
very
put
positive.
Jackie Childs in a box. Because she will break out.
My boss, the producer from Naked News, he's so sweet. So I heard him talking to someone else about hiring me for something. Mm-hmm. And he was like, she can't have too many rules. Like she doesn't do well with it. So whatever the task is, whatever the job is, let me do it my way and it'll be phenomenal. But like you can't give me 12. It's got to be these guidelines. I just can't do it. I can't.
Right. This is why it took over an hour to get to the first question.
No,
do not be sorry, because this is the best way to run an interview, by the way. It's when I have to revert to questions, I only have questions as backups in case, like, you know.
In case it gets stagnant or stale, and there's like,
when I first started the interviews, it was like, let's get through these questions, 5 of them. And then it just became more relaxed, and now I just want to hear stories. I want to hear these experiences. And I would love to see a picture of you at 18.
I have them on my social media somewhere.
Okay. So Throwback Thursday, 18-year-old stripper, you would be...
Yeah, dark brown hair and no tattoos and no boobs and blunt bangs and straight and cute, really cute. I was Venus Swimwear? Venus Swimwear magazine has been around for a million years. I was a stripper. Mm-hmm. I heard on the radio that they were doing this casting call and it was all models from all over and I just went and I got it. Wow. There was 5,000 girls. They picked me, and these girls had agents, and they were fancy, and they were whatever. I was just like, I don't know, I was like a little stone stripper, just went in there high, okay. And they were like, I'm gonna try this, and they picked me. And at the time, you got paid $5,000. It was all shot in the Toronto like waterfront, and magazine that you're in the magazine, the cover, and inside, and it's a real legit. The people that, and it's still to this day. It started in the 80s, and it is still. An actual magazine you can go and buy and order Venus Swimwear. Mm-hmm. And the man that took my pictures just retired from the real Playboy, like American Playboy, the real Playboy. The man that picked me out and said, I'm going to take her photos. This girl, I'm going to make her something. She's got this look. He ended up leaving Venus right after that and working. He was the head, David Messi's his name, the biggest photographer to ever come out of Playboy. Wow. And now he's retired I think he's in his late 60s.
So you got to work with him.
Yeah. He was the one who actually discovered me and picked me. And because I was leaving, I remember about to leave and he said, I don't think you should leave. I think you should stay. We're going to do the announcement in about 10 minutes. And I'm like, oh, it's so crowded. It's so crazy. And everyone's so fancy. He's like, no, you should stay. And then I was the one they picked. So, that I had positive reinforcement for being sexy, for being wild, for being out there.
Was this swimwear or was it nude?
It was swimwear. It was full bottom swimwear. But it was, I had a big bullet, I call it bulletproof push up. Like it was, it made me have 6 bra sizes bigger. And because I didn't at the time, I had nothing. But it was, but I worked it, obviously. Yeah. It worked right for somebody. So, now I'm questioning it. Is that a negative that I get so much sexual attention? Because I use it as a positive.
Well, like I said, it's in a patriarchal system, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where men have traditionally made the rules according to what they wanted and their standards. It's not your responsibility to answer that question, because whatever attention you get it within a context. And if the context is such that, you know, men have typically made the rules, then this is what they're looking for. This is what they find arousing and attractive.
Right.
And you've just found a way to make that an empowered action on your behalf, right?
Right.
As opposed to being taken advantage of.
Right.
So you're taking advantage of a system that could potentially take advantage of you.
So, which I have been taken advantage of. And there are a lot of negative, dark parts of my story that all I didn't like, which is weird. I don't cry for those stories. I use them. That sort of anger, that feel I get really empowers me, really keeps me fueling forward. So to be bigger and better at everything. And now what we're talking about, I was talking about all the positive attention I get through sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now getting that same sort of feeling, the same when I'm in these different community talks and different groups with people, victims of. So whether the Me Too movement or whether like some sort of something's happened with a family friend, sexual abuse of any kind, I get that same real charged good feeling when I can help that. Even with that silly little email from that guy today, I'm like, buddy, like you're at home crying over because she humped somebody. Really? Think of that. Say it out loud. Write it down. Look at what that is. That doesn't, to me, it's a, stop.
I'm sure a lot of people are listening like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Like, really?
So you've had a lot of good experiences. You've had some bad experiences. I don't know if I can ask about the bad experience or if you want to talk about them. If not, that's fine.
It's up to you. If you want to
know
stuff. Do you want to know stuff?
Yeah. I love knowing stuff, and the dark side never scares me. And I think it's sometimes important to hear, but only if you're prepared. Whoa. Hold your horses. We're going to stop the interview here for now. Next week, we're going to pick up again with part two of the interview, where Jackie Childs gets a little bit darker. There's a bit of a content warning. The following episode will contain a story about rape, so if you don't want to hear that, maybe skip to the middle of the episode or somewhere else, or skip the episode altogether. Otherwise, please tune in. Jackie's story is tremendously interesting, important. It does get a little darker, and then it picks up again, light, funny, and we end up with a lot of laughs. So tune in next week for more.
Hey, you're listening to Intellectual Erection, a place where we talk about the naughty to stimulate your thinking.
I'm the boobs, you're the brains, okay, bud?